Every time I see that, and I've seen it twice this morning and several times before this morning, and every time I see that, I find myself being convicted. Because we are to be Christ. We are to have the mind of Christ. We are to think like He thinks. And how can we possibly do that? Well, we can because He lives in us. The only problem is that we don't recognize often that He lives in us. And when we do recognize it, we only give Him a little part of our heart. And he stretches and wants to have all of it so badly. And we miss so many blessings because we are not Christ. Well, preacher, of course we're not Christ. Well, I submit to you that we are. Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father in heaven." On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell and entered into the lives of that 120 that was gathered in the upper room. And every single time someone gives their life to Jesus, every single time someone believes that what Jesus did on the cross was for them and invites Christ to live in their life, every single time Jesus multiplies Himself. We're to be His hands. We're to be His mouth. We're to be His feet. We're to think like He thinks. But oh, we have missed it so far. We've missed it so far. We're more inclined to drive to the church and pass the ones that have need by and come in for those that we already know and are like us. Ever how that is. Oh, if we really only knew each other, right? We would find that we're all different. And there are probably some things about me that if I were to share them with you, I'm not. But if I were to share them with you, you'd probably say, "Well, I don't want to hang around with that dude." You know? Or if you were completely honest with me, and I don't want you to be, and say to me those things that were part of your past life, and I might say, "Man, I don't want to hang around with you either." But you see, we have a common denominator in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ took away all of our past. Now, we still deal with it from time to time. It still raises its ugly head, and we still deal with it. But we all been made one in Christ if we know Him. And so we are His hands, His feet, His mouth. We're to be the goers in this generation, in this age. We are by nature selfish people. We see that demonstrated all the way from the Garden of Eden to this very present day. Selfishness is something that we're prone to exhibit in our lives apart from Jesus making the difference. And He's the only one that can, by the way. You can try to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps and buy all of the self-help books that are out on the market today, and not a single one of them are really going to do what's necessary in your heart. Only Jesus can change that. Only Jesus can take a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh, one that is supple in the hand of God, moldable, one that can be made in His image. This morning, as we approach perhaps one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, I would pray that from this message that we have a fresh awareness of what Jesus is really teaching here. You'll remember it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember that there are hundreds, thousands of people gathered on the hillside this day. And they're listening, some very, very intently, some with bitter hearts as the Lord points out through His message those things that are in their hearts that shouldn't be. And once again, we have those famous and favorite Pharisees sitting there. And as Jesus says these things, these words, "Therefore all things, whatever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." But the Pharisees, they wanted good things done to them, but they didn't do such good things in return. And I submit to you that sometimes we're not much better. Not only is this verse perhaps one of the most often quoted verses in Scripture, it is often one that is misquoted and misapplied. And let me give you for instance. You've heard the saying, do unto others before they do unto you. Well, that's not biblical, but it comes from this passage of Scripture. A misinterpretation for sure. And then some would say it like this, do unto others as they do unto you. We're waiting for them to make the first move. That's not the Jesus way. Or do unto others if they do unto you. So we put a condition. I will help you if you help me, but you got to help me first. Or else I'm not going to help you. And we have a lot of that. But that's not what Jesus was saying at all. That's not what he's teaching. So I want us to take just a few minutes this morning to look at this teaching of Jesus. A little in-depth look that we might have a better idea of the expectation that Christ has of us. Let's look first of all at this truth. The golden rule is a comprehensive rule. Now, the word comprehensive in the dictionary is listed as a noun or an adjective. For our purposes this morning, it is an adjective. It is a complementary word. It is a complementary word to the evidence of Christ in us, or it's supposed to be. The meaning of the word is so large in content as to include much. So that says to us that we really can't do too much picking and choosing about who we minister to. It is a comprehensive rule. And because it is, we need to be first to carry out the intent of this rule for living life. First. You know who I often find being first in living out this rule, albeit they're not Christians? The cults. I find them living this rule out. I find them going to the aid of people. I find them helping folks. I find them embracing folks. I find them loving people, not like Christ's love, but some kind of human love. And people who have need of that respond to that. And so they're brought into the cults, and before long they're believing their untruth. And they're hooked. But they are in the forefront living out what Christ says that we're to live out. We're to be first to carry out the intent of this rule for living life. We're to be first to give respect. Everybody deserves some respect. We're not to be like, who is it? Was it, what was his name? Dangerfield, Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get no respect. Well, there are a lot of folks out there that don't get any respect. And maybe they don't because of the way they live their lives, but there is a certain element of respect that all need to get. And let me tell you why. Because everyone that has ever been born is the crowning work of God's creation. They're human beings for whom Jesus died. So there is an element of respect just because of the fact that they were made by God. And so we need to be first to give respect. We need to be first to exhibit kindness. Let's not let the cults do. Let's not let Satan do what we're commanded to do by the Lord himself. We're the first to be patient with folks. Oh, Lord, forgive me for not being patient. And I'm not very patient. And I know that that is something that you need to pray for me about, is to be more patient. Sometimes our expectations of people are far beyond their capability of demonstrating at the moment. Because they're growing in Christ, perhaps they're not where we are in their walk. And so we're always telling them, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, but they're not ready to hurry up. And so we're very impatient with them. And we're also the first to be courteous, we should be, to say hello, to give greeting to folks, whether we know them or not, to tip our hat, to give a nod, to let them know that they've been noticed, that they're here on this earth, and that somebody cares and somebody pays attention. Paul gives to us his rendition of Jesus' teaching in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And this is what he says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, Paul isn't teaching covetousness here. He's teaching us to look at the things in people's lives that they have need of. Not always material things, but spiritual and physical needs. And we need to be the ones that God uses, because we're the only ones that God can use. He has chosen to use the saved to accomplish his will and purpose. Apart from that, there is no plan B. And when we pass up folks, we may have missed the one and only opportunity that that person will ever have to come in contact with God's person. And yet we, in our, and I use this rather loosely, in our stupidity, we pass them by and we look at them as less than one for whom Jesus died. And as less than God's crowning work, because he looks creepy or he's not like me. Well, we're probably real glad that everybody's not just like us. Number two I want you to see today is this. The golden rule is an introspective rule. And we have another adjective here. It means self-observation, contemplation of oneself, our thoughts and our feelings. So there's some things that need to go on in us if we're going to be the instruments through which Jesus Christ will work. So what is it that we need to examine? Well, we need to first of all examine our hearts. That's absolutely necessary. As it were, we need to be able to go in and lift out our heart and put it in our hands and say, God, point out to me those things that are there that are obstacles that keep me from becoming that person, that instrument through which you want to do your work. What is it that's there? Is it my attitude? What is it? Is it sin that's unconfessed? What is it? Is it hatred for this kind of person? Because I just don't like tattoos and I just don't like piercings? Is it because of that? I just don't like long hair? What is it that needs to be removed? And then we need to let God remove it. God, here, cleanse this from me that I can be useful. Then we need to examine our intents. Why are we doing this? Well, we need to do it out of love. First of all, for Jesus. Then we need to do it out of love for those to whom that need the ministry. But preacher, I don't even know them. How can I love them? Through Christ. That's how. Through Jesus. Then we need to do an examination as to whether Jesus is in us or not. Boy, that's really where the test comes. That's where the rubber meets the road. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul speaks to this very thing. Examine yourselves, he says, whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not yourselves how Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are discredited? Paul once again calls us to self-examination. He said, first of all, you need to examine yourself to see if you're really in the faith. He says, because if you're really in the faith, you will prove yourself that you're in the faith. That's what he says. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. How many times have we said in life about something, well, prove it to me, buddy. You know, how many times have we told our kids as they come to us, I'm going to do better, I'm going to make better grades in school, and we might say to them, well, prove it to me by doing it. And Jesus says through Paul, prove it to me that you really have received me. Prove it to me that you really do believe that I can make a difference in a life, beginning in your own. Prove it, he says. So examination is really, really important. And this really is where the WWJD thing comes in. What would Jesus do? It's more than a slogan. It's more than a logo that people have made millions of dollars off of. It really is an examination of our intents, an examination of our hearts, an examination of what we're going to do when Jesus puts somebody in our path. Third thing you need to see here today is this. The golden rule is a universal rule. Another adjective, by the way. And that means of relating to, extending to, or affecting the entire world. And so the question comes to our mind. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Am I supposed to be an influence to all the world? Yeah. Yeah, you are. Your world. You can only be in one place at one time. You can't be everywhere. Only Jesus can be everywhere. But God intends for us to be for Him where we are in the world that is around us. This morning, your world is right here. We need to be an influence upon one another here for the cause of Christ. There's some folks here probably today that need their spirits lifted. There's some here today that need a hug. There's some here today that just need to hear someone say, I love you, I care about you. There's some here who have some other needs that somebody here can meet. And so this morning, where we're at is our world. When you go home, your world is at home. Your children, your wife, your husband, those who live in your house. That's your world. Tomorrow, when you go to school, that's your world. How are you going to be when you're at school tomorrow? How will you be, guys? How will you be on the job tomorrow? That is your world. That's it. God has an expectation of us. All persons are included in this rule. Everybody. You see, we have no right to choose who we are to help and minister to. God chooses who we are to do that for. All persons are included in the rule. We don't have a right to choose then who we minister to. God will put them in our way. I like to think a little bit beyond the clip that we played. I would like to think that somebody came along and helped him and he was on his way to the church. That's what I'd like to think. And I'd like to think that he went right in and sat down on the pew with those three guys. I love it. You know, and I just love to see the look on their faces as they look over and they see this guy and they say, oops. And it was Ray Blaha in the first service said, wouldn't it be funny if God had chosen him to bring the message that morning and he was on his way to do that? I love it. I think that'd be great. Could you just see him walking in the pulpit and these guys, their mouth dropping open? I think that'd be great. You see, you never know what God has in mind. You never know how maybe God wants to use you in the equation to make it happen. You know, but we, in our smugness, he's not like I am, so that dude thinks I'm going to stop. He's crazy. I'm not going to stop. And we may have missed our best blessing ever by not doing that. When God puts them in our way, we must carry out his teaching toward them. Now, who else is going to do it? Well, I already told you who else is going to do it. The cults will do it. Those who aren't Christians will do it. Man, I tell you, sometimes I've seen folks who are not Christians be more loving and caring than people who claim to be. And that ought not be. Christians ought to have the reputation of being the most loving, the most caring, the most serving people on earth. I was looking at this family was in a restaurant. And they were really, really giving the waitress a hard time. And then they prayed for their food. And the waitress is kind of looking over at them, you know. And, you know, they're thanking God for all his grace and mercy and so forth. And then they acting like that. You know, boy, you know, we really need to watch how we act. Yeah. You know, and sometimes, you know, I used to, when I was not as smart as I am now. I'm still not very smart, but I used to wouldn't say anything. You know, if the food was bad, I didn't say anything. If I got served the wrong thing, I didn't say anything. I just kind of let it go, you know. Well, then I started speaking up, you know. And you know, and sometimes Kathy has to, not literally, but across the table, kick me under the table, you know, and say, don't do that. You know, sometimes it's so easy to not be kind, isn't it? You know, as if it was the poor waitress' fault, you know. And then I've also learned that you need to be careful about what food you send back. Yeah. You never know how you're going to get it back, you know, or what'll be on it when you get it. So, you know, be careful. When God puts people in our way, we need to express his teaching through us. His love, his grace, who he is. Else, how will they ever know who Jesus is? You know, Paul says, how will they know without a preacher? Now, let me tell you something. He's not talking about the dude in the pulpit. He's talking about you and me out on the street every day where we're at. We're preaching. We're preaching Christianity, maybe not with our mouths, but we're preaching it through our actions. How will they know without a preacher? Sometimes, how will they ever know because of some of the preachers? Because we just don't live out the things of Christ. The golden rule is a universal rule. Makes me think of the Good Samaritan. What a classic example, scriptural, about this verse, really. You know, all of these guys come along. This poor guy is incapacitated, beat up, robbed, laying on the side of the road. And all these guys come by, some of his own faith, you know, his own nationality, if you please, and they look at him and, you know, poor guy. They go on. Then here comes the Samaritan. Now, generally speaking, Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. I mean, you didn't do that. And so the Samaritan stops and helps this poor guy. You know, puts him on his animal and takes him into town and rents him a motel room. And then he tells the guy, if he owes you anything, you put it to my account. I'll take care of it. Well, that's really carrying out Matthew 7:12. That's what Jesus was teaching. You know, don't let the boundaries that man sets keep you from doing what Jesus wants you to do, because Jesus always colors outside the lines. Don't put Jesus in a box. He always goes outside the lines. The golden rule is universal. Finally, the golden rule is an active rule. If we haven't discovered that already, where you been? We've talked about action. Action is required then on our part, not just feelings. Now, we saw feelings expressed in all three of these people that passed by the poor guy broken down in the old Volkswagen. You know, the first one says, guy, I have a heart for your situation, but I'm not a mechanic. So he felt something, but he didn't stop. See, he could have picked him up and taken him home, taken him to somewhere where he could have gotten some help. You don't have to be a mechanic to do that. Then the other couple came along, and they had feelings too. The wife had feelings toward the guy. I think she felt, we really ought to stop. But the husband overruled and said, no, we're not going to stop. I don't like the looks of this guy. He looks creepy. He's not our kind. Well, does he have two legs? Two arms? Got a head? Ears and a nose? I mean, he's made by God. He is like us. His hair's longer. So what? You know, I wonder if that had been a woman with very, 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 very short hair, if they would have said the same thing. She's not like us. You know, and then the guy that passed and was on the phone, I think he was touched a little bit. I think he had second thoughts. Whoever he was talking to, maybe his wife or somebody, may have said to him, "Don't you think you ought to go back?" Because he said, "No, I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to go back. I don't have time." So he had some feelings. We all have feelings. When we pass someone in need, whether it's in the hallway, whether it's in our home, whether it's on the road, wherever it is, we always have feelings. When you see someone standing on a street corner holding up a sign that says, "I'll work for food," you have feelings. Now, your feelings may be, "What is she doing out here?" Your feelings may be, "I ought to stop and help." You know, your feelings may be, "Wow, she has nothing to eat, has no job." I remember Kathy and I were on the way to a convention one year, a state convention down in Lakeland, I believe, and we got off of the interstate or whatever we were on, here's a man holding up a sign that needed food or something, and I passed him by, and God just wouldn't let it be. he put a real twist on my heart, and so I turned around, and I went back through that intersection again, and I stopped. You know, and I don't know, I gave him something for food, and I think I had a Here's Hope Bible with me, and I handed him a Here's Hope Bible. And, you know, what the guy did with the money, it's not my business. You know, I mean, he bought a cheap bottle of liquor, I don't know. But I did what God told me to do. See, you know, the rest is between him and God. But I need to do my part. And you know, when I left him the second time, I felt a whole lot better. I really did. You know, do I go back and do I stop every time? No. I still feel convicted at times. Yes, for sure. The golden rule is an active rule. Action is required on our part, not just feelings. It's never enough to just feel sympathetic or empathetic. James says it to us like this in chapter 2. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works.' Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." James says, if you see somebody having need, don't go up to them. If they're cold and shivering, don't go up to them and say, "Man, it's really cold out here, isn't it? Man, I hope you find some warmth somewhere. And we've got two coats on." Or we go to someone and we see them that they're hungry, and we say, "Oh, I'm sorry, my friend. Be filled, be filled." And we go on. And God says, "Stupid! Fill them up. Warm them up. I've sent you their way and I've sent them your way. Why aren't you doing anything? Why don't we do anything? How many people are going to a Christless eternity in hell because we haven't done anything?" That brings us then finally to some questions we need to answer this morning. How should I treat those who don't like me? Well, we go up to them and say, "I don't care whether you like me or not. This is the way I..." Now, that's the way we respond sometimes. I don't care if they like me. But this verse teaches us that we need to treat them the same as our friends. Love your enemies, Jesus said. In what ways has God treated you better than you deserve? Oh my. Think about it. You don't have to think long. In what ways can you treat others like yourself? By sharing the best that we have. By letting them go first, by treating them politely and kindly and help them when they need help. What can we do to make the golden rule applicable in daily life? Several things. Number one, we need to notice. We need to get our blinders off. We walk around with blinders on because we don't want to see what's in our peripheral vision, because that means that we might be convicted and we might have to stop and we might have to help someone. It's much easier to stay in the thought lane that we're in. I'm on a mission, and I'm not going to let anything stop me from accomplishing my mission, and my mission is for me. And it doesn't matter all the things that are on the sidelines that Jesus has placed there to, in fact, test our faith, to see if we truly are His. So we need to notice the situation. We need to observe the human needs in our environment. Then we need to think, what would I need if I were in the same situation? And I could be. Then we need to pause from our own agenda. Put it on hold. Put it on hold. Let me tell you something. Jesus paused in His agenda. You know what His real agenda was? To be the glory of the Father. His real agenda was to be the King of heaven and the King of the universe, which He is. But He took a pause in His agenda, and He came down here and He became one of us. And He took upon Himself my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world, and He went to the cross and He died. Thank God that He rose again. For in that He secured our salvation for everyone that believes. We need to pause from our own agenda. What we're doing is not so important that we can't stop and meet the need of another who needs our help. Then we need to go into action on behalf of that person, whatever it takes. You know, if we want safety and security in our own lives, then we need to be that in the lives of others. If you want people to care about you, then we've got to care for others as well. If you want people to be helpful to you, then you need to be helpful to them. If you want fair remuneration, then you should pay fair remuneration. If you want mercy, then you should be merciful. If you want forgiveness, then you should be forgiving. And Jesus taught about that a lot. If you want significance in life, then you should help others to become significant. If you want love, then you should love others. If you want people to pray for you, then you should pray for them. If you want to be happy, then you should try to make others happy as well. If you want encouragement and understanding, you should be encouraging and understanding. Answer this question for yourselves. Who do you pass up every day that you need to pay attention to? Could it be the child in your home, your wife, your husband, your mother, your father? Who do you pass up every day? Family, friends? And what about the strangers in the broken down Volkswagens with long hair, piercings, tattoos that are on the road? What about those? Those are people for whom Jesus died. Those are people that Jesus has placed in our path to carry out the golden rule, to be Christ to them. You're the only Jesus that some will ever see. What do they see? Father, Lord, your word grabs us and holds us and makes us accountable. And Lord, as we're challenged today to live out the Christ life, as we're challenged today to pay attention to those who are placed in our path, God, I pray that we'll not go out of here and just say, yep, that's right. We need to be doing that. But God, help us to go out of here and actually do it. Lord, whose life would be changed if we would take a moment to be sidetracked, to take a moment to put our agenda on pause. Lord, to take a moment and allow you to come forth out of our lives and to be who you are and who you want to be through us. Lord, there may be some here today who really can't understand fully what I'm talking about because they've never met you. Lord, I pray today would be the day that they would come to know you, that today would be the day that they would understand that you really did die on the cross for their sin, and that you really will change their lives completely if they'll trust you and invite you in. Lord, there may be some others today who need to come and be part of the church family. Lord, we ask that you would bring them today. Lord, whatever you wish to do in these moments, may you have your way and your will done with each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 294 is our hymn of invitation. As we stand together and sing, if God's spoken to you about a need that he can meet, you come up here and meet me right here. Would you do that? Come right on. Number 294. Verse, you come if you need to this morning.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit.
Thank you for being here today, and I pray that as you go out in your world that you will look around you and see who's there that you need to minister to this week. Brother Shane, would you lead us in our prayer benediction, please?